Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host for a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues. But the twist is that we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce Chief Ralph Ornelas, former commander with the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. And yeah, he did transition, and he became a police chief in California as well. He has worn both hats, the SO and the PD. You got to love it. So thanks for being back on the show, Chief. Appreciate it. And a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Our title sponsor is Gauls at Gauls.com. And they've also got that 15% off discount code. They've given it to me. Now it's yours. And just remember that it's Radio 15, in order that you can always get 15% off. Works on most purchases at Gauls.com. So remember that. Also, we have ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and TwoBells.com. They're built on an online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, Travis Chase with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And, you know, Scott Steyert on our show always wants me to tell you guys how to watch the show on podcasts, especially. So yes, we're on every podcast platform known to man, but especially Spotify and Apple iTunes, two of the biggest. And we're also on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, formerly X, True Social, all those as well. If you really want to find out how the best to get the show, go to our website, leoroundtable.com, and we've got along the top menu bar, we got a listing of everywhere we're at, dates, times. If it's radio stations, one of the 47 radio stations that we're on, it tells you where we're at, the call signals, the times that we air on the days, everything, leoroundtable.com. So guys, let's go into what the appetite, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We got some really good stories. We got the first two are going to be stories with video components, and we got body cam video released in a fatal Tucson police shooting involving a man that's armed with a knife. And then we got a machete wielder. This guy, he injures a canine, and then he's shot by Oxnard police inside of a restaurant. Questions about how that went down. You know, the chief and I were just talking about, you know, we're animal lovers. And then we have an ex-Sunrise police sergeant. This is what's going to get most of the time of the day. This ex-Sunrise police sergeant is seen grabbing an officer's neck, and he's avoiding criminal trial. We cover this when it happened. It was about 4 years ago, and it's worthy of a discussion. Then we got a robbery suspect fatally shot by Albuquerque police officer when he raises a gun and attempts to carjack a vehicle. And then lastly, if we have time to get to it, Davenport police dash cam shows two squad cars colliding. It's a training moment. It's nothing to spend a lot of time on, but it's if these guys got seriously injured, probably would not have it in there, but they were not. So we'll cover that if we have time to do it. So if you're ready, Chief, let's go and start off with the first one. It's a video component. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam video released in a fatal Tucson police shooting involving a guy that's armed with a knife.
Let it go. You will be tased a third time.
Pepperball.
Manos arriba.
I know, he still has it in his lap.
He still has the knife on him.
It's in his lap.
I'm saying not him.
So Tucson, Arizona, this newly released body cam video shows the moments that led up to a fatal officer involved shooting in Tucson earlier this year. The Pima Regional Critical Incident Team on Friday, well, they released the footage. It's from an April 10th incident where the Tucson police officers responded to reports of a guy that's armed with a knife. And according to the investigators, when the officers get there, they encounter a 65-year-old named Luis Torres, and he's got a large knife in his hands, and that's when they arrive. So we have body cam footage now showing the officers repeatedly ordering this guy to drop the weapon, including commands given in Spanish, which I'm sure Chief Ralph would appreciate. And then they're saying, drop the knife, officers can be heard saying in the video. And then authorities said that the officers attempted less lethal measures before they resorted to deadly force. The video shows officers deploying pepper ball launcher and also a taser in an attempt to get this guy just simply be compliant. They said that the bad guy eventually picks up the knife back up. This is after he lays it down, and they're kind of like moving in to go 10-15 with the guy, and he goes for the knife. And his mistake, someone could have got hurt at that point. An officer fires their weapon and strikes Torres. He's transported to the hospital where he later died from his injuries. And just, you know, looking at my show notes here and stuff, the layout is that they respond to the knife call, deploy the taser, and it is a successful taser deployment. 1, 2, 3, 4 times is what I counted with the times. And then we have pepper ball deployments. They start at 1:56, you know, 1 minute, 56 seconds, and they have at least two. And the suspect ends up dropping the knife. We got now at the tail end, we have air service overhead. And so you couldn't really tell. I have in my notes choppers loud, because so Chief Ralph and I have never talked about this, but I guarantee that he knows, like I know, we love air service, but when you're on the ground and you're trying to give commands to a bad guy, that does not work in your favor. If it's air service, these things, these rotors, they are loud and it really can interfere with stuff. So even though you couldn't really tell, I can tell, I know from experience that you're trying to give commands to a bad guy. You're trying to have one officer, they're going to have a strong voice in order to make sure the bad guy can hear in both languages. So that means you're probably going to may have two guys doing it. I don't know. The officers move in to arrest the guy. Remember, he's dropped the knife. His hands are on his head. And when they move in and they get close enough, he goes for the knife. I'll let the chief take it from here.
You know, first of all, you make a great comment that I didn't write in my notes about the helicopter, but to the officers watching this, you know, I've been there where I told the helicopter, get higher up, get away, you know, because it doesn't interfere with, it doesn't interfere with the dialogue and the conversation. And sometimes exacerbates it, not in a positive sense, in a negative sense. So, you know, we're going to probably, you and I have a really good discussion about this, because there's some things I believe, knowing you now for a while, where you may not like what I'm going to say. So, but that's good. That's good. You know, number one, it's a justified shooting, but I'll tell you this, that let's go back to the call for service. I believe the RTO did a great job getting information out, and some of the information that the informant was saying, that maybe there's something going on with this older man, you know, and maybe confusion also. I think the informant who called up even mentions the word Alzheimer's and stuff. So, you know, they get there and they get some cooperation, not much, you know, but I always say this, look, we've done a lot of knife shootings, and I always have to put this out. Reverence for life is so important. And the thing about it is that I don't believe they establish a good enough dialogue with this suspect to really obtain what's going on with this man at all. You know, right away, they're getting into, you know, they asked some questions. I think the female officer said some things in Spanish to try to get in touch, but it didn't go any deeper. What's the problem? What's going on? Can you tell us what's happening, Mr. Torres? You know, and it depends on voice tone. And that's where it comes into play. What you said, Chip, the helicopter interferes with that. Okay. So anyway, taser. Here we go again. We talked about this last week. Why do we even always got to give an alert that we're going to tase somebody? Okay. Just give the taser and
it's
let it
policy. They'll get written up if they don't.
But you know something? You may save a person's life by shocking, because their body, they hear it. The suspect's preparing for this. Okay.
I know, but you can't tell the cops to go against policy, though. You know, they'll get written up, and then eventually, you know what I'm saying? It's like one of those things to where it's in every SLP manual I've ever read with a taser. You've got to warn them first before you deploy it. Same with bolo wraps and everything.
So I understand that, but sometimes you could say do it and then beg for forgiveness later on, as long, especially if things end up in the manner that we'd like to see. But the thing about it, Chip, is this: you know, they get the guy, they tase him 3 or 4 times, they pepper spray him. Now the knife is on his lap, right?
Right.
He's on his back against boxes, against a fence, whatever it is, right?
Thanks, yeah.
And his feet are off the ground, okay? Now, where is impact weapons on this? Does anybody have an expandable baton? I mean...
Well, but he wasn't resisting or anything at that point, so... But no, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, as they closed the distance in, they were pretty close to him, Chip. Oh, yeah. If you look at the video near the end before they shot him. So, I mean, first of all, Ralph Ornelas might not have gotten that close until I really established some dialing, some more cooperation, or maybe even another dose of pepper ball gun. But if I'm going to get that close, I would have definitely had myself and my partner with an impact weapon. When he did reach for that thing, when his right hand,
shoot him.
I would have came down. This is a great part about being with you, a great part about being with Chip the Block, because I gotta tell you, I've been in those positions, and I didn't shoot somebody, and I could give you examples. My partner.
Well, I know my responsibility. You're lucky you weren't stabbed or killed, but you know you when so look we're and so my thing is, you know, we're not all created equally, and I mean like some cops have better judgment than others, and some have better physical skills than others, and that's kind of like why you have like SOPs and manual regulations and stuff, because it sets a protocol for how we respond. But I never would look. There was one time where I had a female, she had two knives, and I really thought that I was young. I was like a rookie, and I thought, man, I can grab her wrist before I think she can stab me. I did it, and I was successful. My partner about killed me for doing that. But I did that. I didn't want to have to shoot her. Now, it wasn't a smart move, and I was very lucky. And if I would have got cut, I would have been one of those things I deserved, because it was. But I would never say. I mean, if someone's going for a weapon, I would never want to respond with an impact weapon. It that's a lethal situation. An impact weapon is something for you, for someone actively resisting. Even if they don't have a weapon, you know, the impact. So I just, but you guys on the West Coast do things so much differently than the rest of law enforcement does across the country, especially on the East Coast. So,
yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, in the 1980s, Chip, we didn't have all the regulation we have now. It's just the training we had at that time, what impact weapons. And even when I went back to the academy as a sergeant, there are situations when you get that close to a suspect, sometimes an impact weapon is useful and productive. On a situation, I'll give you another
example.
Lucky.
We got 10 seconds. So look, let's hold this up. We'll jump right back into it.
I can't wait.
Commercial break. Here we go.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Back with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California, also formerly worked with the LA County Sheriff's Department as well. He was a commander over there. So thanks for being on the show, Chief. We've been talking about a use of force. There was a video involving a bad guy. It was a man with a knife call. And when the cops get there, there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of less lethal. There's at least four taser deployments. I gotta admit, I was kind of impressed with the performance of the taser. It worked. And then they had a couple pepper ball deployments. Ultimately, the bad guy was a bad guy. And so when the cops moved in, when he was let's say briefly compliant, he was on the ground. I think his back was up to a fence, legs elevated, hands on his head, and he had dropped the knife in the lap area. It was close up to where he could easily reach it. So when the cavalry moves in, they go 10-15, he goes for it and he gets neutralized. And so Chief Ralph and I have been discussing East Coast versus West Coast tactics, because I'm in Tampa, Florida, and he's over in California. So Chief, the floor is yours.
No, you know, and I love the discussion. I love the disagreement, because it's good for the people that watch this, because they get different perspectives. But I'll tell you, Chip, I don't know how long I've been with you on this show, and a lot of knife incidents And they always end, you know, what the result is most of the time is in a shooting. And I really believe this is sometimes the young officers, I always say, he who hesitates loses. If moving in closer and using an impactful weapon, either after the taser or whatever you want to use, a pepper ball or a 40 caliber. But sometimes you have to, sometimes, you know, you can shake your head all you want. I love it. But you know something? There's something there that why does it always end up in this way? We have an obligation by law of reverence for life for people and reverence for our life and our partner's life and the citizen's life. But there's a point in time, even in this shooting, there was a point in time they could have done something right before he went back to that weapon. They could use an impact weapon to strike and get the control of the person. I bring this up, Chip, because of the numerous shootings. I'll give you an example. 1977, there was a shooting in LAPD's area, Uella Love shooting. It was a huge shooting that was all over the press, all over the country. This lady, there was a disturbance call, and two LAPD officers get there. She has a knife in her hand. She's distraught that they were there to mitigate this problem with California Edison, okay? So anyway, she's got the knife in her hand. She throws the knife. Now remember, we have no body worn camera. We have just witnesses and statements from the officer. She throws the knife. The knife's in the air. They put 16 rounds in her. I mean, that shooting was like, my uncle was working at the time. I think he just was this last part of being in internal affairs. It was a very difficult shooting.
Why?
Because the knife was already out of the hand. They're 20 feet away, and they unloaded on her. It was, you know, in.
There physically, there's easy ways to explain that because of reaction time, right?
I understand that.
So I don't know, why was it, I don't understand why it was a difficult one to
because the knife was already gone out of the hand. The officers moved away. The knife went, not even didn't even reach them. Okay, it was a kitchen knife. And so anyway, and they let 16 rounds in her.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But Ralph, you got to understand, with all the advancements we have in technology now, we got Jamie Borden on the show with Critical Incident Review. We've got Von Kleem with Force Science. And, you know, they have proven without a doubt. Like, I know what you're saying, and people, so what you're saying sounds like something until I give you the stats that it's going to take for when I realize that there's a threat. Let's just say that I see a woman with a knife and that she's going back to throw it at me, and I decide that, hey, I'm going to shoot and I'm going to try to neutralize the threat. No way that I'm going to be able to get my gun on target and fire before she throws that knife at me. Now I'm going to try.
In that situation, the guns were already pointed at them, Chip.
Okay? It doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to beat her. So yeah, by the time they're going to fire their guns, that knife is going to be airborne. It's going to happen almost every time. There's a way, whether the guns are holstered or whether they're pointing at her. The guy with the knife on the ground that you say that we should use an impact weapon for, if that would have been me, and you know, you and I are about the same age, you know, I can get, even if they have their guns out at me, I can grab the knife and throw it or stab somebody before they're going to get a shot up at me. That's a fact. It's going to take about 3/4 to a second just for me to be able to process what my eyes are seeing. And then my brain's got to tell my trigger finger to pull the trigger. And all this is processing and assessing. And it takes about a second and a half. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in a second and a half. So telling somebody, I don't want to get cops killed. And I mean, this is a healthy, because I know life is valuable, but my life is valuable too. I'm going to neutralize. And, you know, back in the old days, you know, you shoot the kill. Now it's like shoot to stop the threat. Doesn't matter. It's just a play on words. But yeah, the bullet would have been in the bad guy. Now, if I'm getting close enough to a guy and he's going for the knife, there's no way that I'm going to be able to use an impact weapon. Number one, you don't know if it's going to work. The guy's been tased 4 times and he's been pepperballed a couple times. And guess what? He's still the bad guy going for the weapon. And I'm not going to be that close and try to do an impact. Number one, I'm not going to be able to hit him with an impact weapon more than likely or less lethal before he's going to be able to stab me if he really wanted to, unless he maybe goes really slow, he misses the knife on his first grab or something, but it's not worth the risk. It's a lethal situation that deserves a lethal response. The only way you deviate from that is if you have some dude with less lethal and you've got a lethal covering him, and the lethal guy makes his decisions based off of what he's seen. It doesn't matter what if the less lethal guy has a chance to use his less lethal before you go lethal, fine. But we're not relying on him. We're going lethal when it. And I don't have to be worried about death. I only have to be worried about great bodily injury. That's it. And so, you know, so the protocols I'm pushing and operating off of are a little bit different. The other stuff, it's just too much risk. You run the risk getting injured or hurt, and then you do nobody any good. And then you can't do the public any good because now you're either dead or injured. So
I understand what you're saying, but please don't tell me I don't understand. Okay. Cause I've been there. So the thing about it, Chip, is this: I try to give a different perspective because I've done it. I've had deputies do it.
I know, but we don't want cops killed, though. Is what
no,
I'm
no, so don't misinterpret. I don't want any cops killed. I handle deputies being murdered. Okay, all so right. I know that, Chip.
10 seconds for going.
Don't impose that.
All right, guys, we're talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing stat. It's actually helped them achieve non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. We've been having a debate going. In fact, it was so, I don't want to say heated, but it was controversial enough that where we had a 4-minute break and we just said, let's just go ahead and like hash this out here. But I do want to, our radio people, I do want to kind of bring you guys up to speed on where we're at, taking nothing from Ralph and his ability, because I want him to say something. I'll let him get the last word in, but there are some, there's a difference in tech. I kind of see it as an East Coast, West Coast thing. And I say East Coast, you know, a lot of the guys that I've worked with, West Coast is just a little bit different tactics. So they, in my opinion, they push a lot more we say the necessary standard versus the reasonable standard, or maybe a lot more less lethal. Although we all use less lethal, but the main debate is on whether in a situation with a guy with a we're talking really about edge weapons or knives or stuff, whether whether it's a lethal situation where lethal is your only option, or whether you want to, like Chief Ralph is talking about, maybe using a impact weapon or other less lethal options. And so that's where we're differing. I don't think that we're going to get, I think we're just going to have to like agree to disagree. But Chief Ralph?
No, I agree. And we agree, we disagree on just a tactical approach. But the bottom line, as I stated, was a justified shooting. Sometimes I want to present some other options. And guess what? That's part of a great part of your show. We could be able to articulate that.
But so no, I know you love your cops. I don't doubt that for a minute. I know that I've got 30 years in law enforcement. I started in 83. You started maybe a year or two before me, and you have maybe a few more years, I think, in law enforcement than me. So, but we were trained and brought up differently in different, not era, the same era, but just under different umbrellas, basically. And if I grew up in the LA area, I probably would have a completely different mindset on how to do the police work too. So we'll let the people listening to the show decide for themselves, where they're going to fall at, on this thing. So
now, hey, listen, Chip, I respect you immensely and your viewpoints and what you stated. But hey, sometimes it's just a life experience and things that we did that moment in time in our careers. There's examples in our brains that provide a different alternative. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, personally, I think that, look, if you got a bad guy with a 22, that's a small caliber gun, you could probably survive one or two shots, so you should wait until you maybe that third or fourth shot before you return fire with something bigger caliber, like a 9mm. I'm joking with you. I'm just
I know you're being facetious.
Well, now someone's going to take a clip of that. They're going to play me saying that, and then I'm going to get screwed. But so I tell you what, we're like halfway through, and I'm thinking, Chief, we need to jump to that story that you wanted to talk about, the sergeant.
Let's do it.
All right. Are you good with that? All right.
I'm good.
I'm going to skip over the video number two, and we're going to jump straight into, Miami area with Sunrise Police Department. So NBCMiami.com, ex-Sunrise Police Sergeant seen grabbing an officer's neck. He avoids criminal trial. Guys, we covered this about 4 years ago, and it's back in the news. Surprising to me, wait till you hear this. So the video made national headlines and ignited conversations about use of force and de-escalation in policing, kind of like what Chief Rob and I have been discussing just now. It showed then Sunrise Police Department Sergeant Christopher Police, he's no longer a sergeant there or even working there. He briefly grabbed a fellow officer, a female, by the neck when she intervened during a heated arrest. So Sergeant Police was later arrested and charged with felony battery. And now, felony battery. I've forgotten that. I thought the battery's from the evidence tampering, but the felony battery by that brief grab. Okay. I mean, I don't see it, but and evidence tampering. Nearly 4 years after his arrest, NBC6 investigates learned that the former sergeant is avoiding criminal trial. Instead, his case was transferred from Broward Veterans Court or transferred to the Broward Veterans Court. It's a diversion program for certain military people that qualify for it. So a prosecutor told the judge that the alleged victim, the female police officer who still works there, did not oppose the move. And the move was requested by the sergeant's attorney. So the incident happened back on November the 19th of 2021. So think about that. We're in 2026. So that's what, about 5.5 years ago, as police body cameras were rolling. The video shows officers are having trouble taking a battery suspect in the custody. And so now the sergeant arrives on the scene and video shows him. Their officers have put him in the back of the patrol car. So the sergeant rolls up. He's got pepper spray in his hand. He exchanges words in the back seat with the already handcuffed bad guy. And the suspect says, "You're going to mace me? Mace me." And the sergeant looks at him using an expletive and says, "Hey, you want to play expletive games? You ever get disrespectful with my expletive officers, I will remove your expletive soul from your expletive body." And Chief Ralph is making me laugh because he's smiling. Okay, so at that moment, a young officer, a female, that is really critical to the story because that's what makes it kind of so amazing. So at that moment, a young female officer with less than 3 years on, she grabs the sergeant by the waistband and he's a 21 year veteran, and she starts pulling him out of the back seat because he's all over, this guy, and she's pulling him away. The sergeant turns around and he briefly grabs her by the neck. He's kind of like lost a little bit. And he says to her, "Don't ever expletive touch me again." And he uses the word expletive a lot. And the junior officer says, "Sir." And he says, "Get the expletive off me." And she goes, "Sir." And so the police chief at the time praised the junior female officer, saying that her actions demonstrated good leadership during a tense situation. I suspect, I'll let Chief Ralph say, but she's got some stones, right? After the altercation, the sergeant can be heard telling the officers at the scene, "Everybody turn their expletive cameras off." He's just like, "Yeah, that's it." So we know where that, I can only imagine what was said and done after that. 8 months after the incident, the sergeant ends up getting arrested. So in July of 2022, the Broward State Attorney's Office, they announced that he's being charged with felony battery on his fellow officer and evidence tampering. I have to assume that was a felony as well. In court filings, prosecutors wrote the sergeant fully reset and wiped his cell phone the day that he was told that he was under criminal investigation. So, yeah, that's a no-no. That's destruction of evidence. And I can tell you, here in Florida, it's a third-degree felony. I know that. Sergeant Police was set to go to trial in late June, nearly 4 years after the arrest, but NBC6 investigators learned that there will be no trial because the 51-year-old, he's 51 now, remember, he was a 21-year veteran back then, so the 51-year-old's case is transferred out of regular criminal court into a diversion program for certain military members. So the Veterans Court requires the defendant to have military service related to a condition. Now, they give quotes about what it is, which makes the chief and I wonder what he's got. Issues like mental illness, traumatic brain injury, substance abuse are among some of the things that would qualify you for this. So on June the 1st, Sergeant Police's attorney, whose name is Michael Dudko, filed a motion requesting the case be transferred, saying the client meets criteria for the treatment program. And he said, here's a quote saying he's a veteran, was honorably discharged. He's currently receiving some services. They don't say what they are from the VA. And that's just part of the whole process. And when asked about the body camera video, the attorney Dutko told NBC6 the video does not tell the whole story. The defense attorney also said that the junior officer's intervention was not appropriate. Ouch. In this case, if this case had gone to trial, he says it would have taken a while to explain the entire episode involving his arrest, meaning his client's a sergeant. And then finally, Sergeant Police's criminal charges would be dismissed if he successfully completes the veterans court, which could take about 18 months, according to the Broward State Attorney's Office. And Sergeant Police retired from Sunrise Police Department in 2022. The female officer is still on the force. And they say that she went along with his this treatment program or diversion program with the VA. She's okay with that. So we got 2 minutes and we can go after the break. We can still go into this, but Chief Ralph.
Well, first of all, it's very interesting. His name is Police, and here we are, police officers in this show. Yeah. But I gotta say, We smile and grin a little bit, but it's a very sad situation because here is a sergeant. I'd had a great career. He might have been a great veteran. And for his actions, what he did, not only to the female officer, but what he did to his other officers as a supervisor, putting them in that position and being exposed to that horrible behavior that what he did. And, I got to tell you, Chip, when you sent me this, I reviewed it this morning. I sent it to my friend who's an assistant sheriff because I said, this is a great video and case to use at a sergeant supervisory school. And once again, I always look at things to try to elevate our people's thinking about how do we allow ourselves to get into that world. He lost his emotions. He lost his control. He wasn't calm. He wasn't disciplined about what was going on. And for him, you could see the body-worn camera, Chip, that you sent in the video. You could see his body language. Even when he was driving, his forearms are big. And the tension, and he gets out, and he's got that pepper spray. And to respond as a sergeant, and I responded. I was 8.5 years as a sergeant. If I saw my officers and deputies doing the proper thing, I just leave them alone and let them conclude the incident, as long as everybody's okay, right? For him to dive into that back seat and with expletives, that wonderful word expletive, with the canister of pepper spray, there's no reason for him to be in that. Oh. We're going to go on a break. Go ahead.
Man, I'm just listening to you, and we got a commercial break coming up. So look, we're coming right back to this, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn. So if you haven't heard, pay attention. You're going to want to hear this stuff. So GunLearn.com, for starters, they are the first and only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, this certification, even if you got it 5 years ago, guess what? Now it's worth college credits. The reason is because GunLearn is now partnered with Smarter Degree and their university partners. And if you become that certified firearm specialist even 5 years ago, now you've got those college credits associated with it. It's a great opportunity. And of course, they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, you can even host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly, GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by, we've got the sergeant, well, the sergeant. He used to be a sergeant at one point, but he was a commander with the LA County Sheriff's Department, and then he left and became a chief in California. So welcome to the show, Chief Ornelas. We've been talking about an interesting story, and we've covered it once before. It's from the Sunrise Police Department, and we've got a sergeant who grabbed the female police officer by the neck, even though it was brief, after she pulled him out of the backseat of a car when he was maybe going to do something even worse and more stupid to the bad guy that was handcuffed in the back of the car. And then he destroyed some potential evidence. So I think it's fairly safe to say that it looks like he was charged with two felonies, but now he's avoiding criminal court by going into a veteran court program. And there's some people that are writing articles about that and have an issue. So Chief Ralph, the floor is yours.
You know, Chip, we spoke about what his conduct in the beginning, and I got to go to now the police officer, the female police officer. What she did, she showed a great amount of courage, commitment, and honor at that time. It's not easy. That is not easy, what she did to pull the sergeant back by the Sam Brown, the gun belt. And you imagine the feeling he must have had by somebody pulling him away when he's...
Oh, he was already enraged.
He was ready, heated inside that back seat with a suspect. And, you know, just think, she did it in front of three other officers. And for him to turn around and grab her by the throat, I think you could hear her voice. She was still composed. So the inner intestinal fortitude of this young lady was just amazing. I got to go back to now the chief of police after he saw it, that had to be difficult for the chief of police immediately relieve him of duty and open up a criminal investigation, plus obviously an internal affairs investigation. But for this sergeant now, and here it goes again, audience, is when you don't control your emotions, you lack discipline. Here he is wiping his phone, and then ordering his platoon, his five officers in his platoon, we have a duty not to dirty our laundry, not to talk about it. Here goes another violation of a supervisor, an officer, going against the chief of police, you know, about his orders, which probably those officers were already, you know, advised by the lieutenant and the chief, don't talk about this incident. And here he is putting this text message and message. This sergeant obviously lost his cool, Chip, and the manner he is doing his job. You know, and you know something, and once again, we laugh, but it's sad. It's really sad that he did this and lost. But I'll tell you this. I was in a situation in the early 80s, not supervised, but two deputies. We were in pursuit of a robbery suspect, and we could turn into a foot pursuit. And they got into a shed, and I grabbed both of them by the back of their Sam Brown and pulled them away. Why? At the command post was the commander, the captain of the station, Compton PD's captain. And you know something? Did I get heat from it? Absolutely. But my heart of hearts was from my two partners, which each of them I worked a radio car with at one time. I cared about them because I knew what was going to take place later if they would have put the boot to the suspect, you know, and not to be able to justify it. So, you know something? This female officer, I really, it saddens me, but also, I saddens me the fact that who knows what pressure she had put on her, right?
Yeah.
Right? And that's why she agreed with the arrangement to go to Veterans Court, which I don't blame her.
Look, her career, let's face it, after that happened, I guarantee you she walked into the room and you had it split. A small amount of people would cyber her. The other guys would want nothing to do with her after that happened.
You know something? Don't think the chief of police thought about that. And that's why the district attorneys and everybody agreed to that, because why put this young officer and other officer witnesses on the stand to testify against this sergeant? Yeah.
And I, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm sure that you will agree with me, that the agency got ahead of her before this article came out and said, you will not talk or give a comment, period. Because they reached out to her. Yeah.
I agree 100%, but guess what? You don't think she already thought that in her mind?
Well, yeah, she doesn't want to. She's got a good thing going where she's at. She's still there. She wants this thing to just go away.
Go away.
Yeah, yeah. So she can just do her, and she'll probably be, you know what? I suspect she'll be a great, she's probably already a great officer, but I suspect she'll, you know, she's someone that could really grow up in that agency and do very well. I just think it would be really cool if she got like a tattoo like a handprint on her neck. Could you imagine? Even if it was a temporary, How cool would that be? Just because that's what she's going to be known by, you know?
Well, you know, I just looked over my notes again, and something, when he had a hand around her throat, she still called him sir.
Yeah, She
still called him sir.
It was so bad. Yeah, it was just so bad, the optics. Yeah, I'm not trying to take up for the sergeant, but I'm trying to bring the human component into this. So look, with police work, right or wrong, there is a human component. I mean, just like everything that we do, we bring a gun component to it because we've got a gun on us. So every bad guy we deal with, there's a gun there. There's a human component to this. We're not, I'm not saying that Chief Ralph and I would have ever been in that situation, ever have reacted. I don't know. We've all got, there's different triggers and thresholds, but this sergeant, in my opinion, he lost it. It was just, he should not have allowed himself to have gotten in that place. And she was trying to save him and prevent him from doing something very stupid, like macing the guy or punching the guy handcuffed behind his back. But I think that he had lost to the point. Well, if his reaction was grabbing her by the throat when she just pretty gently pulled him out of the car, there was bad. She probably saved him from something worse, you know? So,
that's why, Chip, when I started, I said, very sad situation.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation, but you know, some Chip, I like to know what the background is. If you look in the background, the sergeant and what are other telltale signs there, you know, the lieutenant saw something. I mean, I don't know. But,
I bet his guys loved him. I bet he was a good sergeant. There may have been some signs, but I bet he was like a cop's cop, you know, the male cops looked up to him and stuff. And he was definitely a type A, you know, so, but yeah, just too bad that he had to leave on this note, you know, but.
I agree. And, you know, it was really very astute to his attorney to go to Veterans Court. Because it got protracted out another 18 months, you know. And so, you know, I pray to God for him that he's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't ever want to see a veteran who fought for our country or because I look at the tattoos on him and stuff. You know, God forbid, but who knows what he went up against, and something sparked.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there could be some legitimacy to that. There's some benefit to the agency not dragging all this through the mud. You know, you notice they never put the female officer's name in that article. And they're trying to protect her as well. So there, I have respect for the way they're trying to do all this. And if she and the agency have no problem with him going, and look, the military thing is not something they can just say, hey, we're going to divert you. Oh, no, that's got to be approved by the military. So there's a process. It's been 4 years. So you got to have faith in the system. And I do still have faith in the system. So
I'll tell you, let's face it. He's already been punished. He's lost his job.
And he'll never be a cop probably in the state of Florida again. They likely even yanked his certification, but he's older. He's too old anyhow. So
exactly. I mean, but I hope he gets the help he needs.
All right. No, I agree. Well, we've talked about what two topic or three two topic, but what it was great. So this last one, hopefully a lot of people can appreciate that. And cops, good cops hate bad cops, and we can hold people accountable when the time comes. So Chief Ralph, thank you so much for being on the show. I do want to mention Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out that are world to hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. Chief Ralph, while we're still on radio, take about 30 seconds and talk about what you're doing with fentanyl, how people can get a hold of you.
You know, you get me hold of me on LinkedIn. I'm still out there. Right now is a summer break, but I'm still doing presentations to parents, seniors, and students on the dangers of fentanyl. Let's face it, we've lost so many young youth between ages and 10 to 45. So please educate our youth.
Right. Ralph Ornelas, Ornelas on LinkedIn. So check him out, guys. And he travels all over California. And I'm sure if you're willing to help, if you're willing to put the bill, he'll go anywhere you want him to go to talk about it because he's very passionate about the fentanyl. So Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and TwoBells.com. Don't forget, the discount code for Gauls is Radio15. They get 15% off. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.